Howdy and welcome to the 10-week Bible study. This is week 10, day 2 of our study of Mark. I'm your host, Darren Hibbs, and today we're talking about Mark 15, 16 through 32. Well, welcome back to the 10-week Bible study. Again, I'm your host, Darren Hibbs. Would you join me as we pray before we start today? Lord, would you open our eyes and our ears to hear what your word has to say to us, God? Speak to us and fill our hearts with the knowledge of you. We want to encounter you through your word today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. With that, let's jump into God's word. I'll be reading today from the NIV. This is Mark 15, starting in verse 16. The soldiers led Jesus away into the palace, that is, the praetorium, and called together the whole company of soldiers. They put a purple robe on him and twisted together a crown of thorns and set it on him. And they began to call out to him, "Hail, King of the Jews." Again and again, they struck him on the head with a staff and spit on him. Falling on their knees, they paid homage to him. And when they had mocked him, they took off the purple robe and put his own clothes back on him. They led him away out to crucify him. How terrible. How terrible. Now, these guards, they don't care anything about Jesus or who he was or what any of this was about. They hear the story that he's the king of the Jews, right? But he's accused of death. And so in their minds, maybe they know a little bit about him. Maybe they don't know anything about him. They only know the accusation that he's called the king of the Jews. And so they're just going to have fun. And this is just how wicked people's hearts can be. People often think that, you know, these guards were more wicked than anyone else. And people often look at what happened in Germany in World War II, and they think, well, the Germans and these people, they were more wicked than anybody else. And that's not the case. These guards are no more wicked. They don't have more or less wickedness in their hearts than you or I. But what they do have, what the Germans had during World War II, is the exact same thing that's going on here with these guards, is that they have no restraints on them. These guards, and again, I said that Rome, they kept the Roman peace, the Pax Romana. What Rome didn't allow was uprisings and rebellions. What they did allow was cruelty. If it took cruelty to get the peace, they were okay with that. And so what these guards have, once this guy is sentenced to death, Rome doesn't care what's done to him. He's going to die anyway. What does Rome care if they beat him and flog him and mock him and do all of these? They don't care. They don't care about someone's dignity. There was nothing dignified about the cross. And so Rome cared nothing for anyone's dignity. In fact, in their mind, to mock him and abuse him was even better, so that people would be too afraid to have an uprising and too afraid to step out against Rome. And so not only were these guards not discouraged from doing this, they were essentially encouraged to behave like this. These guards are no more wicked than you and I. It's that they have limitless power over men like Jesus in this situation. So all of this evil inside of them comes out. Now, I'm not saying that you and I are just as wicked. I'm saying we have the propensity to be as wicked. If all of those restraints are taken off of us and we don't choose the restraint of Jesus, Paul talks about this in his epistles a lot, is that we used to be slaves to sin, and now we choose to be slaves to Jesus. And that's the reality for us, is that we used to be slave to sin like these guys were, like these guards, but we've taken that off by accepting Jesus and accepting his blood, by becoming citizens of eternity. We're no longer slaves to sin, but now we've pledged our allegiance to Jesus himself, and now we're slaves to him. And so even if there was no restraints on us by the government saying you shouldn't be mean to people and you shouldn't do this to people, if we have pledged our allegiance to Jesus, we still shouldn't act like this. We shouldn't act like this. This is the restraints should still be on us, but they're willing restraints that we've chosen for ourselves to lay ourselves down at the feet of Jesus. If we don't have either of those, if the restraint and the slavery to Jesus that Paul talks about doesn't exist in our hearts, and the government isn't telling us not to do this to people, then almost certainly, and this is true for almost all people throughout history, almost certainly, we would behave exactly like these men. It takes that restraint on us, and there is no restraint on these men, and so they behave quite wickedly. Verse 21, a certain man from Cyrene, Simon, the father of Alexander and Rufus, was passing by on his way in the country, and they forced him to carry the cross. It's important that Mark points this out. Remember that Mark is writing this during the time of the book of Acts, probably later during, or maybe somewhere in the middle of the time period of the book of Acts. And so he knows the Christians that are in Jerusalem and around. And so apparently Alexander and Rufus were two believers that associated with the believers in Jerusalem. And so Mark is pointing out that this Simon from Cyrene, and he's a foreigner who's come in, and I talked about this in the book of Acts, in the Bible study that I wrote in the book of Acts and the podcast. If you want to go deeper into that, you can learn about who these people were and why he was from Cyrene, why he was in Jerusalem at the time. There's a lot going on. He's there for the Passover. He stays for the day of Pentecost when the church basically begins. But he's in town, and Mark is pointing out that Alexander and Rufus, who the people that he's initially writing this to, it's their father. So Alexander and Rufus obviously were people that Mark expected the people that he's writing this to, they would have known them. And so, hey, he's saying it's their father who did this. Continuing on, verse 22. And they made Simon carry his cross for a while because Jesus couldn't at one point. Verse 22, they brought Jesus to the place called Golgotha, which means place of the skull. Then they offered him wine mixed with myrrh, but he did not take it, and they crucified him. I want to pause there, actually, because Jesus said at the Last Supper, I won't drink of this. I won't drink of the fruit of the vine again until I come back in my kingdom, until I return with my kingdom. So we won't drink it until we drink it anew in that kingdom that's to come. And so they're giving him wine mixed with myrrh, which probably wouldn't have tasted good. But they're giving him this wine and he refuses to drink it. He won't touch it. Continuing on. Verse 24, and they crucified him. Dividing of his clothes, they cast lots to see what each would get. It was 9 in the morning when they crucified him. The written notice on the charge against him read, "The King of the Jews." They crucified 2 rebels with him, one on his right and one on his left. Those who passed by hurled insults at him, shaking their heads and saying, "So, you are going to destroy the temple and build it in 3 days. Come down from the cross and save yourself." In the same way, the chief priests and the teachers of the law mocked him among themselves. "He saved others," they said, "but he can't save himself. Let this Messiah, the King of Israel, come down now from the cross, that we may also see and believe." They crucified him. Those crucified with him also heaped insults on him. Now we know that one of the two, at least maybe initially both of the other people who were crucified with him, they insulted him. But at some point that changed, and we know that one of the thieves that was crucified with him changed his tone and rebuked the other thief and said, Stop mocking this guy. Stop mocking him. I believe. At some point he believes. And he asks Jesus to remember him when he comes into eternity. And he gets saved. This guy gets saved on the cross. But all the people passing by, they would do these crucifixions on major thoroughfares, roads in and out of a city, so that all who were coming in and out of the city would see the crucifixions and that they would be afraid, that they would know, don't cross the Roman government or this is going to happen to you. So the people that are walking in and out, they're mocking Jesus, right? They've turned on him very quickly. Maybe, we don't know, it could have been a completely different group of people, but maybe some of the people that are fanning him with palm branches and saying, "Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord," they might be some of the same people mocking him when their expectation of him turned out to be wrong. Not who he was, but their expectation of him. Everyone that we're told here, and again, not everyone is mocking him, but all of these people, they come out to this crucifixion to mock him. We know from Josephus, we know from other extra-biblical sources, that the Jews, they hated crucifixion. They hated it. They hated it so much, they wrote very little about it. And what they wrote about it was how much they hated it. And here they are coming out to this thing that the Romans use against them, that they abhor. And they're still coming out to mock Jesus, to shout insults at him. Again, when the restraints are off and we don't have the self-imposed restraints of following Jesus, terrible things come out of people's mouths. I bet you've been in situations before where, and maybe even in church, unfortunately at times, where you've heard terrible things come out of people's mouths. Because whatever the restraints that they might normally feel are for some reason gone. I bet you most of you listening, if you have any number of years behind you, you've heard these kinds of things. And it's because the restraints are off and because there's no self-imposed restraints, like wanting to honor Jesus. That's when we hear and see truly terrible things. I want to encourage you that if you haven't pledged your allegiance to Jesus, if you haven't, as Paul said, put aside and become free of the shackles, the slavery to sin and bondage and death, you haven't laid that aside and taken on the slavery to Jesus, which is in self freedom, I encourage you to do that. It looks like pledging your allegiance to Jesus, saying, I am going to follow you the rest of my life. I'm going to lay my life down to follow you and to live my life the way you would want me to live it, Jesus. If you haven't done that, I encourage you to pray this prayer with me today. Because even though Paul talks about is exchanging one slavery for another, the way it works is that we're actually exchanging freedom for slavery. And then we're willingly pledging our allegiance to the only just judge who's ever lived. We're pledging our allegiance to the one who sacrificed himself to atone for our sin, that we might forever live free from sin. When we think of it in those terms, it's not like we're being shackled to this man, Jesus. When we understand what he's done for us, when we understand that he has saved us from an eternity of separation and punishment, separation from God and punishment by God. He saved us from an eternity of that to an eternity where we're honored and we're blessed and we're given eternal life. When we think of it in those terms, nothing else makes sense except that we would give Jesus everything we have and then honor him with our entire life. Nothing else makes sense but that, when we understand it in those terms. So if you've never done this before, would you join me in this prayer? Jesus, I acknowledge that I'm a sinner and I need you to save me from my sin. I know that you died on the cross for me. I know that this crucifixion was to atone for my sin so that I could be redeemed to God. Jesus, redeem me now. I pledge my allegiance. I pledge my life to you for the rest of my natural life so that I can live with you in eternity. Jesus, I pledge allegiance to you. I repent of my sin. I want to know you. I want to follow you the rest of my life. Save me, Jesus, and fill me with your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. If you just prayed that for the first time, please reach out to me. You can find my contact information in the show notes in the description. Please reach out to me. I want to have a conversation with you. I want to have a dialogue with you about the next steps that you need to take if you just prayed that prayer with me. For the 10-Week Bible Study, I'm your host, Aaron Hibbs, and I can't wait to see you next time.
Hey, thanks for tuning into the 10-Week Bible Study podcast. If you've enjoyed this podcast, would you consider leaving a review for it on your podcast app of choice? It really helps other people find out about this podcast, and my heart is for people to fall in love with God's Word. Thank you.